And we've talked about belief, repentance, obedience, and we're going to wrap it up this morning talking about baptism. Please don't shut me out. I know we all have our opinions about baptism, but something I learned in Bible college is sometimes you got to give your opinions up. They're not as holy as you think they are. They're not as carved in stone. But what I want to do today is take a look at what does the Word of God say about baptism. And I didn't get all of it in there because we'd be here till tomorrow morning. I think what the scriptures have to say. But we're going to look at the book of Acts this morning. The text will be out of Acts 2, verses 36 through 41. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you will take this to our hearts, open our eyes and our ears, Lord, and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had a lot of Christians that I've talked to over the years. We all have differing opinions about baptism, the purpose of it. Some tell me it's not important, and that kind of surprised me. I've had some Christians tell me it's not really important if you're baptized, not professed Christians. Others say, well, it makes you a member of the church. That's all it's for. I remember one lady my mother worked with died in the wool Southern Baptist, and she told me that. And she used this passage, but she skipped right over what Peter said and said 3,000 souls were added to the church. So she believes that baptism just makes you a member of the church. When I was in Nazarene Bible College, they said baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, a work that's already been done in your heart, and you're baptized as a public profession to let everybody else know that you're going to accept Jesus Christ. Now, I agree with some of that. Baptism is done publicly, and it is a statement that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. But is it not important? I don't think so. Is it part of the plan of salvation? I believe it is. So please don't shut me out if you don't believe that, and let's look at what the scriptures have to say. We looked at belief, and you remember I told you that the Greek word belief is a lot deeper than what we Americans think of. I've had a lot of people over the years tell me, I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to heaven because the Bible says I got to believe. Do you follow Jesus? Well, I still do my own thing, but I do believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. I didn't think that up. Belief means to rely on and put all your faith in him. When the Bible says that there's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ, you have to believe that or you can't be saved. You can't be saved by good works. You can't be saved by trying to be a good person. It won't work. Jesus Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins and to bring us back to God. And so belief means that I trust him with that. And I say, I'm not going to try to do anything except what you tell me. When Paul and Silas went to Philippi, we talked about the Philippian jailer, but their first convert was a woman named Lydia. And Luke records, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So it said Paul God opened her heart to hear Paul. That's called the conviction of the Spirit. Those 3,000 we read about just now in Acts, that's what happened to them. They believed what Peter said. He preached from the book of Joel, and Joel was talking about a coming judgment of God. It ain't got here yet, but it's coming, and it's a terrible day. But Joel said, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise we have. Some people stop there. Well, that's all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. Well, they asked Peter, what do we do? He said, repent. They already believed. Change your mind. Repentance means to change your mind in your direction. It doesn't mean to feel guilty or sorry, although that can be part of it. But Judas repented that he had betrayed Jesus, then he went and hung himself. True repentance, would, to me, would have been if he'd have hung around and waited for him to be raised from the dead and went and fell at his feet and said, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. But he didn't. So repentance is more than feeling guilty or sorry. All of us have things in our past we feel guilty and sorry for. I do, at least. But feeling sorry and guilty isn't enough. God says, stop doing it. That's repentance. You stop it. You change your mind, you change your ways through the help of the Holy Spirit. But you notice with Lydia, God opened her heart, Paul taught her the word, and what happened? She was baptized. In the early church, they did not put baptism off. It was done immediately. And I know a lot of times today, for the sake of convenience, people will say, well, I'd like to be baptized, you know, next Sunday. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But in the early church, the apostles preaching, the converts were baptized as soon as they were converted. And I'm sure they were explained to them what baptism was about. We are buried with Christ. And we die to the old self. And just as Christ was raised to life, we are to be raised to a new life. Paul said, whoever is baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. So baptism is very important. And it goes a lot farther than what some of us believe. With the conversion of the Philippian jailer, the jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. You notice Paul didn't leave it there. He didn't say, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus. It said he spoke the word. What did he speak? The word. He told them what the word said. He told them what God said. That's what we have to do, church. He spoke the word of God to him and all who were in this house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. The conversion of the eunuch. Now, we didn't talk about that. But you remember in the book of Acts, Philip was in one place and the Spirit said, I want you to go to this road. And he got there and there was a eunuch who had been at Jerusalem worshiping. He lived in Ethiopia. And he was reading the scroll of Isaiah and Philip ran up and said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I if someone doesn't explain it? So Philip, it said he started there and he preached the word of God to him. You think that was coincidence? That Philip ran into that guy. He had went to Jerusalem to worship. He was a convert to Judaism. And he went there according to the law of Moses. And he worshiped God. And he must have had some money because those scrolls were expensive. And he was reading the word. And he wanted to understand the word. And the Spirit of God said, hey, Philip, I need you to go over here. I'm working on this guy. And I need you to do your part. We need to be ready to witness if the Lord opens the door. Peter said we need to be ready to give an answer, to tell people why we believe what we believe. So Philip gets up in the chariot with him and he explains the passage of Isaiah and he preaches Jesus to him. And it says, as they were going along down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water, what prevents me from being baptized? Why would he ask that if Philip didn't mention baptism? He wouldn't have known. Philip didn't just preach baptism. I'm not saying that. But Philip included baptism in his message of conversion and joining himself with Christ. And Eunuch said, what keeps me from doing it? So it said he stopped the chariot. Philip took him down into the water and baptized him. And immediately the Spirit of God caught Philip away and sent him somewhere else. And the eunuch came out of the water praising God. Do you think he talked about it when he got home? I bet he did. I bet he said, whoa, let me tell you what happened to me. The conversion of Cornelius. God wanted Peter to go talk to a Gentile, and he was the first Jew to do that, and Peter didn't want to go. But God convinced him that he needed to go, and Cornelius was a worshiper of God, but he was a Roman soldier, and he worshiped according to the Judaism law. I'll get it out in a minute. But he was a worshiper of God, and what God do? God started working on him. He starts saying, Cornelius, there's more to this, and you need to know it. So he said, send these guys to Joppa and get Peter, and he'll come down here and tell you. Well, Peter said, I don't want to go. You know, that doesn't matter to God. If he wants you to do something, it doesn't matter whether you want to do it or not. I didn't want to be a preacher. I told God, no way. I don't like talking in front of people. I don't want the responsibility. But God said, I don't care what you want. This is what I'm calling you to do. So hence here I am. And Peter gets to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius said, I'm glad you came. And Peter said, well, I'm here. What do you want? And Cornelius said, I was worshiping God the other day, and an angel appeared and said to send for you. And he said he gathered neighbors and friends together in his house. And he said, we're ready to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. And Peter preached the gospel. And it said, while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy and praise God. And Peter said, can we forbid water to baptize these people? Now, I've had people tell me, well, I got the Holy Spirit before I got baptized. There's only one incident that happened in the book of Acts. And I'll tell you why, because when Peter got to Jerusalem, guess what the Jewish Christians did? They jumped down his throat. What are you doing going to the Gentiles? So Peter explained it to them, said, hey, God gave me a vision, told me to go, and I went. And he said, you know what happened? When I was talking to them, the Holy Spirit came on them like he did us. And the church said, well, then God really has granted repentance to the baptism, duh, or to the salvation. Jesus told him to go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. But the Jewish Christians just wanted to stay in Judea. They were having a party, man. They were having revival. People were getting saved every day. They didn't want to go anywhere. Cornelius was converted. And what did Peter say? You need to be baptized. Paul and the Ephesian believers. This is a little different slant. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? You notice Paul didn't say, well, didn't you pray the sinner's prayer? Paul went right to the heart of matter. He said, well, what were you baptized into? Remember, baptism joins us to Christ. Paul said we are clothed with Christ. Baptism causes the death of the old person and the resurrection of the new. So Paul asked these guys, well, what were you baptized into? And they said the baptism of John. We talked a little bit about that. John came before Jesus, and God had him baptizing people, the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I've never talked to anyone that had a problem with that. And I'm talking about a person claiming to be a believer. I've never talked to any person that I can ever remember in 27 years that's ever said, well, I don't believe John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says it. And I've had a lot of people, well, now the Bible says that. John had a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, so that's what I believe. Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, no. We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. He said, well, what were you baptized into? John's baptism. John told the people, I baptize with water, but there's coming one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And they hadn't received the Spirit. So Paul explained to them what John's mission was, and he said Jesus was the one that John was talking about, and he's been here crucified and he's gone. And he's the one you need to be baptized into. And he said he baptized them in the name of Jesus. They consented to it. Paul laid hands on them and they were filled with the Spirit after they were baptized. That's an important thing to remember. People, if you will just take the Word of God for what the Word of God says, that allays all confusion. We human beings are guilty of getting set in our ways because Granny Gump said something. Well, if Granny said it, it must be the truth. Don't take Granny's word for it. Go to the Word. Read the Word. See what the Word says. Unless you don't believe it's the Word of God, then believe Granny. Or believe Joseph Smith or Pastor Russell Tays or one of the cultists. If you don't want to believe the Word, then choose one of them. But if you want to know what the Word says, read the Word. And take it for what it says. God kept it simple because we're simple. We like to think we aren't. We like to think we're highly intelligent. We got everything figured out. But we're not. God gave us His written Word, and He wants us to read the Word. He wants us to obey His Word. I was just reading that the other day in one of the prophets. God said to the prophet, "My people will not listen to my voice. They won't obey me." God was warning them, if you worship these idols, it's going to get bad. And God said, they won't listen to me. They were over there worshiping the idols, doing everything the Canaanites were doing. And God said, I'm going to come down on you. And they didn't pay any attention. We have to obey God's word. So after Paul baptized them, laid hands on them, it says they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I know the Restoration Church doesn't necessarily believe in the gift of tongues. I do. But I'll tell you what, the Greek word is glossia, and it doesn't mean babbling. It means they spoke a language they didn't naturally speak. I think Cornelius and them Romans were speaking Hebrew, because it said there was Hebrews with Peter, and they were amazed because they heard them praising God. Maybe these Ephesian believers spoke Hebrew or Aramaic or Latin, because I think Paul spoke all those languages. But I'm not here to talk about the gifts of the Spirit this morning. The emphasis is, when they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit, Paul said, then what were you baptized into? And John's baptism was a good baptism. It was the pre-seed before the Messiah came. But when they said, well, John's baptism, Paul said, well, then you need to be baptized again. And he preached Jesus to them. I don't know why we have problems with that as Christians. Other than we don't like change. And if we hang on to something and we believe this is the truth, we don't like somebody telling us it's not the truth. We don't like somebody telling us, well, you know, that's not all of it. I told you when I was in Bible college my third year, every year you had to go before a board of doctors. These are guys that have the doctorates, you know, the real educated dudes. And they'd say, what have you learned this year? And they wanted to talk to you. And, you know, what'd you learn in this class? What'd you learn in that class? What do you think? And I told them, I have learned that my opinions are not as holy as they are. I said, at first I couldn't believe you wanted me to change my opinion because I thought I was right. But I said, over these last 3 years, you have caused me to question things that I thought I had figured out and realized I didn't. That takes humility, and I'm not bragging on myself. Okay, when I say that, it took humility on my part to say, yeah, you guys have proved it to me through the Word of God. You're right, I was wrong. That was a big step for me. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't like to say, I'm sorry, I apologize, I was wrong. I was wrong is some of the hardest words for me to say to anybody. But I was wrong. I thought I had it all figured out. I was just going to Bible college because I had to. I was going into ministry in the Nazarene church. I had to take these courses before they would ordain me. So I was going because I had to, but I'm so glad that I did. That was an experience I'll never forget. And I learned a lot of things there. And got to meet a lot of godly men who were teaching those classes and who cared enough to talk to you if you needed to talk to them. And to guide you. Paul's testimony of his own conversion. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. God had blinded Saul. He was going to Damascus to kill Christians, and God said, nah. And he stopped him on the way there, knocked him off his horse with his glory, and Saul was blind. And then the Lord said, now get up and go to Damascus, and it'll be told you what you need to do. Paul didn't argue. He said, yes, sir, I'm going to Damascus. Ananias was a prophet, and God appeared to him and said, Ananias, there's a guy named Saul. He's been fasting for 3 days. And he said, I want you to go lay your hands on him so he'll get his sight back. So Ananias has come in and he said, the God of our fathers appeared to you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Now, think about this. The word says God told Ananias, I want you to talk to him. He was a devout, godly man. He was a Jew and he was a Christian. And God picked him and said, I want you to talk to him. And this is Paul's testimony to the Jews. They had arrested him. They thought he was in the temple with Gentiles and he wasn't. They wanted to kill him and the Romans had to rescue him. And he asked the Roman centurion, can I address the audience? And it said he started speaking in Hebrew and they got real quiet. And Paul said, this is what happened to me. I used to be just like you. I hated Christians. I persecuted them. I put them in jail. I spoke at their trial. I consented to their death. But he said, then I met Jesus. You know, that's what needs to happen to get saved, church. You got to meet Jesus. Yeah, it's not a head belief. When I came to Christ, I was praying. I was convicted. I knew what kind of man I was, but I didn't know if God would have anything to do with me because I was vile. But God opened my eyes first, and he showed me myself through his eyes. Then I knew how vile I was. You know, before I came to Christ, it was no big deal. Hey, I don't hurt anybody. I work. I drink whiskey. I smoke weed. You know, I run around, raise a little cane, but I never hurt anybody. I don't steal. That was my attitude. But when God opened my eyes, I said, oh, dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. And then he introduced Jesus to me. Did I see Jesus physically? No. But the Spirit of God come on me. And it seemed to me like God said, Rick, this is my son, Jesus. Jesus, this is Rick. And I knew at that moment there was salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. He was the one I had to turn to. He was the one I had to call on. So Paul said at his conversion, Ananias came and laid hands on him. He got his sight back first. And now in earlier in Acts, it says Ananias talked to Paul and said, you've been chosen to go preach to the Gentiles. And Jesus said, by the way, tell him how much he's going to suffer for me. How would you like that call? I balked at being a preacher. I don't know what I'd done if God would have said, Rick, I want you to do this and you're going to suffer a whole lot. I'd have probably said, is there anybody else up there I can talk to? But what did Ananias say to Paul? What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away. The early church liked to baptize in running water because they said the significance of your sins running downstream. Just a thought. I'm going to close with this. Peter's take on baptism. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Now listen to what Peter says. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. What's Peter talking about? Obedience. Peter said, when you submit to baptism, you are obeying what God has told you to do, and you'll have a clear conscience. I remember a baptism in the Nazarene church, and I was associate. I didn't get to baptize, but I assisted the pastor, and it was a family in the church, a man, a wife, and her daughter. And I got to preach once a month on Sunday nights. He said, you need to practice. Boy, I did need to practice. Still need to practice. But I preached on baptism. I'm not boasting on myself. I preached a message on baptism, and they came forward and said, we need to be baptized. And the pastor said, all right. We took them to Veracruz. There's a nice creek there, cold but nice. That's where we did baptisms in the summer. And I read scripture, and the pastor talked to them, and then he baptized them. And when everything settled down, I asked the husband. He said, I've been a Christian for 7 years, a member of the Nazarene Church for 7 years. I've never been baptized. I said, why? He said, Rick, you're the first person that's ever said anything to me about it. He said, you're the first person I ever heard preach on baptism. And he said, when you did, I knew immediately I need to be baptized. His wife said she needed to be, and their daughter, who is about 16, said, I need to be baptized. I'm not taking the credit. That was God. That was a God thing. That was God that put that on my heart to preach on baptism. And three people were baptized into Christ. Am I saying they were not Christians before they were baptized? No. I'm not saying that. They were faithful people, decent people, godly people. But they had left something out. And he said, when I heard that message, I was convicted in my heart that I needed to be baptized. I needed to obey what God said. So Peter says you're doing it as an appeal to God for a clear conscience, a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend back to heaven after his resurrection, he had his chosen few there. And he gave them a commission. We call it the Great Commission. It's the only commission he gave. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Does that mean he has authority? He's our general. He's the commanding general of the army of God. He's our chief. Now, he didn't just say, just baptize, but he said, baptize them. If Jesus said it, church, it's important. Peter said, we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Ananias said, Paul, you need to be baptized and wash your sins away. Paul said, to receive the Holy Spirit, you must be baptized. We read of those who were converted, were baptized immediately. Peter said it was an obedience to God. Remember, we talked about obedience. Jesus commanded us to do it. How important is baptism? Evidently, it's very important, at least to God. Now, this isn't to hammer anybody, but I'm saying all of this is contained in the book of Acts that I just shared with you. I didn't have time to go into Romans and Corinthians and the other books where they talk about baptism. I had a guy one time, used to come here, he got very upset with me for preaching this text. And he met me at the back door and he said, that's the only text you have about baptism. I said, no, really? Paul's conversion, Lydia's conversion? And he said, well, don't you believe it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from sin? I said, amen, brother. I believe that with all my heart. But I said, the question is, when's the blood applied? You say, when you say the sinner's prayer, I say, you won't find that in the scriptures. The scriptures say, repent You believe, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Who are we to dare tell God, well, I don't think that's very important. I've met people over the years that tell me, man, I've been going to church for years. I've never been baptized. I've had people ask me to baptize them. I said, sure. I had a young man come to my door one night, and he'd been at a revival, and he went to the altar and said the sinner's prayer, and he came and told me, I'm a Christian now. I said, well, praise the Lord. And then one night, about 11 o'clock at night, there was a knock on my door, and I opened the door, and he was standing there bawling. I said, what's the matter? He goes, I need you to baptize me right now. And I said, well, there's no baptismal around here, so we went down to London Bridge. We got down there and waded into the creek, and I baptized him. I called a friend of mine so we'd have a witness there. But I said, what happened to you? He goes, I was driving to Springfield, and God come all over me and said, no, you're not done yet. Praise God. I praise God that he chooses to let us work with him in ministering to people and witnessing to people. But we don't dare contradict him. No, you don't want to contradict God. Remember what it says in Revelation, and I think this applies to the whole book. God said, don't take away from this and don't add to it. And that applies to the whole Word of God, not just to Revelation. Would you stand with me this morning? If you've never been baptized into Christ, but you believe you're a Christian, I encourage you to be baptized. You don't have to do it here, but don't let this drop. Obey what God tells you to do and be baptized into Christ. Yeah.